Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifieds, World of Outlaws, Archives, it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Well, finally. Hey, how about this? What a race weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway. It was the NASCAR finale weekend, Ford absolutely everything, and we're going to talk lots about it here tonight on the program. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Jr., right here in the RTR studio. What did you think of that weekend there, kiddo?
Hey, we're done for the year.
No,
2019 is over.
For racing.
For the NASCAR Cup Series, for everything that's happening in Canada.
Yeah.
For everything that's happening down south. There's still a few more races between here and New Year's. You of course, can't forget about the Snowball Derby, and you can't forget about a couple of the other indoor shows and stuff like that. But the Cup Series, once they wrap up, man, get your snowmobiles out and have some fun with it, because we got to wait for a few months before, you know, we get constant coverage of racing.
Well, it's good, though. Fans can tune in here every Sunday night.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk about racing.
We got lots of stuff coming
out. And we're going to do that all season long, all off season long.
Yes.
Yeah, every Sunday night right here. But let me tell you who we got coming on the show tonight, because I'll tell you what. It is a stacked lineup.
Yeah, we got a lot of fun guests to talk to tonight.
We do. Friday night kicked off the Ford EcoBoost 200.
Yep.
And that was at Homestead Miami Speedway for the Gander Outdoor Truck Series finale. We know now Matt Crafton is a three-time champion.
Yep.
The guy, Junior, that really, really did put on a show on Friday night was the driver of that number 16 truck. Austin Hill did an amazing job behind the wheel, won both stages, won the race, and Austin Hill is going to kick us off tonight.
Yeah, looking forward to catching up with Austin Hill. Of course, we've had him on lots throughout his career. You know, we've talked to him, you know, back in the day when he was, you know, just getting his program kicked off with the NASCAR K&N series. You know, he raced for himself for a long time, him and his dad and his family teams. This is kind of the first year that we've seen Austin Hill outside on his own with a different team, you know, and of course went out there this year and picked up a mitt full of races, you know, victories. Yep.
Four wins.
And he had, you know, arguably his most successful season ever. Well, it is 100% his most successful year ever in NASCAR. And, you know, ran into a little bit of tough luck there in the final stages of the playoffs in the truck series. Otherwise, he proved it. If he made it in the final four, he would have walked away with that driver championship.
Yes, he would have been the man.
And you know, he was just outside the cut at Phoenix, and you know, just didn't quite advance into the final four. So, I'm looking forward to catching up with him. Obviously, a great guy, a great friend of Racetime Radio. But also, you know, you look at that Hattori team, and you know, they've kicked off the career of Brett Moffitt again. You know, he did an amazing job, went out there, got the championship, and this year they close out on a high again. It would be really interesting to see what Austin Hill can do if he's in that same equipment next year. We'll ask him about it. He won't tell us what his plan is for 2019, or for 2020, rather. But we will definitely ask him and see what he's got coming down the pipe. And obviously, a lot of eyeballs got opened up to Austin Hill this year, just with a bunch of great performances. And we also have to, you know, obviously you covered it off, but we got to give a big congratulations to Matt Crafton and the ThorSport gang for picking up the win and the championship as well. So,
yeah.
But looking forward to catching up with Austin, and let's talk some off season.
Well, we're going to hear from Junior Joyner, crew chief on Matt Crafton's truck. We're going to hear from him tonight. We're also going to hear from Matt Crafton, and let me see here, Tyler Reddick. He goes out and wins the Xfinity Series Championship. So tonight you're going to hear from Richard Childress. You're going to hear some from Tyler Reddick. And other big news in the truck series, just before we get too far down the road. Big news this past week, KBM announced who they're going to have in the trucks. Of course, Burton is moving up and on, and so is Gilliland. They're both moving on. You're going to see Christian Eckes that we heard from just a couple of weeks ago. You're going to Christian Eckes is going to be in the one truck.
Yep.
And then you got Raphael Lazard going to be in the other truck for KBM. We're going to hear from Raphael tonight live on the show.
Yeah, definitely. And big news, you know, we're going to have two Canadians, by all accounts, running in two top-notch trucks in 2020. You know, of course, Stuart Friesen, I don't know, has announced yet for 2020, but by all accounts, that team is fired up and ready to go for 2020. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But, you know, I've got a chance to meet Raphael probably four times this summer and got a chance to race against him. The kid is just lights out and talented. He's such a charismatic person. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do. Obviously, he's been in KBM equipment already.
Yes,
you know, he's been in Toyota, TRD, KBM equipment already, you know, with the 46 truck as well. I believe he ran the 51, but ran, you know, some races for KBM. You know, impressed a ton of people. The kid is just a phenomenal race car driver. First time he strapped into a Pinty's car, of course, it was at his home track at Autodrome Chaudière, and he went and won the race, for Dumoulin's. And really, you know, interesting because Dumoulin's didn't have the best speed in the Pinty's garage all year long. You know, they were competitive, but
good stuff, just not
rocket ship fast. And I tell you what, Raphael Lazard in that 07 was rocket ship fast, and it was really cool to see. Raphael, just a great kid, a great talent, and you know, a big bright spot for Canada. It'll be really interesting to see what he can put together in KBM equipment next year, and I think it's going to be magical. Yeah. I think it's going to be really cool to see.
Well, we'll also hear tonight Kyle Busch, of course, won his seventh owner's championship in the truck. We are going to hear a clip with Kyle Busch tonight, and then he goes on today and wins the Monster Energy Cup Series. We won't have any of that because it's too fresh. They just did it. So
yeah,
we will hear from Mario Goslin tonight. He ran all year Xfinity. He had the 90 car and the 36 car. Not a bad season for him.
Yeah.
Alex Labbe behind the wheel at Homestead in the 90 car, qualified real good and ran pretty decent as well. Come home 17th.
Yeah, for sure. Mario, you know, a little bit of a different look to this season for them. You know, last year when they unrolled with you know, a full time effort with Alex Labbe in 2018, you know, it was a much different feel. They had a major sponsorship for multiple races with Labbe, and really that carried the year. They had a second car that was kind of piecemealed together, and you know, kind of as an addition to DGM and DGR. It was an additional you know, team to their effort. This year it was two piecemealed efforts. You know, they had two teams that you know, they had to piece together throughout the season.
Josh Williams ran the 36
exactly,
all year,
but they had to work throughout the season to fund it.
Sure.
All the way throughout the year.
Yep.
And you know, they did a very good job with what they had, and I think that, you know, looking forward, they have some really good momentum rolling into 2020. So it'll be cool to catch up with Mario and hear all about the stuff that took place throughout the season that maybe we didn't get a chance to see through the lens of a TV. We'll catch up with Mario and see what all, you know, took place behind the scenes and what he's looking forward to heading into 2020. Busy guy.
Yes.
From all accounts, you know, talking to guys in the Pinty's garage and, you know, just his name pops up because he's a prominent part of the sport. in conversation. And you know, the word that everybody describes Mario as lately is busy. And he always has been. He's always been hands-on and blue-collar and you know, always puts in a massive effort into putting on-track performance together. And, you know, this year is no exception. Very busy cat. And it'll be really interesting to hear what's coming down the pipe for 2020 and for, you know, what's to come in the future, because that team is growing.
It would be so, so cool to see funding get behind Mario and Jerome and all those guys. They've got it. They've really got it. If they got some good funding behind them, I'll tell you what, Alex Labbe behind the wheel of one of those two cars, I tell you what, you would get results. And I would say if they had the proper funding, you got a guy there in Alex Labbe that could go out and win a race or two. I can just about guarantee it. Seeing the way he performed at Homestead this weekend, only his second trip to Homestead Miami Speedway, that kind of stuff there, you could see a big difference between the way Alex raced there last year versus the way he raced there on Saturday.
Absolutely.
Big difference.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the model of the NASCAR Xfinity Series is so much different than what it was 5 years ago.
No, yeah.
It has evened the playing field dramatically. There's still haves and have-nots, and I would categorize the Goslin race team as a have-not at this point. But they perform a heck of a lot better than every other have-not in the field.
Oh, they're halfway through the field.
Exactly.
All the time, consistently.
You know, they put together a strong effort every single time they show up to the racetrack. Really, they surprise a lot of people a lot of the time in qualifying. You know, they pop up and they've got some really unique qualifying setups out there, because, you know, there's been times where these guys sit, you know, in the top 10 and in the top 15 in qualifying, you know, logistically is out of reach for a lot of the have-not teams. And they go out there and do it. And, you know, it's unique because it's not just on one style of racetrack. You know, you look at some of the underdog race teams, if you will, or the underfunded race teams.
Right.
And they're good at Daytona and Talladega.
You'd expect
right? And sometimes if they have a driver that is, you know, an ace, you know, on short tracks, or an ace on the restrictor plates, or an ace on the road courses, they'll be competitive there. And I use LFR as an example with that. That team, when I worked there, was a have-not. But we had a guy that was really good on restrictor plate tracks and a team that was really behind restrictor plate tracks.
Yeah.
And Michael McDowell, one of the best road course racers in Cup, and really good and staggeringly good on the road courses. And, you know, the interesting part about Mario Goslin's team is it's not that way. They're consistently good and consistently laying down numbers at mile and a half. You know, they'll spring together. I look back at Texas earlier this year. They had some amazing speed there.
Sure did.
They had some great speed at Homestead. As well, you know, you look at the Bristols, you look at the Roval, you look at it, they bounced all over the map. They had good runs at a bunch of different style racetracks.
All the different configurations.
And it's obviously really interesting to see the Canadian involvement with that team. Obviously, the connection of Canadian involvement. You know, you see Donald Teague in Mario's equipment sometimes. You see Alex Labbe in a handful of races. And obviously, there's some Canadian involvement on the business side as well. So I think that that's just going to continue to grow as long as the passion is still there. And Mario Goslin has got all the passion in the world for this sport. He's going to be in it for the rest of his life.
Yep.
You touched on it about it'd be interesting to see with funding.
Yes.
I agree wholeheartedly. You know, the opportunity is there for a Canadian. It doesn't necessarily have to be a sponsor to pick up the phone and call Mario Goslin.
No, no.
It can be a development driver that's in Canada.
Yep.
You know, it can be a guy who wants to better himself and run some of these races down there. Those types of deals help teams grow, and they also help other people get their feet wet as well. You know, you look at a guy like Ross Chastain. You know, he got some opportunities and paid for some opportunities all the way throughout, and, you know, made – he didn't make a name for himself until he started driving for Johnny Davis. Yeah. And Johnny Davis was a have-not team.
Yep.
And, you know, the ability is there to go out, get your feet wet, and not spend Joe Gibbs or Hendrick money to get it done. And, you know, that's the neat part and kind of the niche of where a team like Mario Gosselin sits on the pecking order. And I think that, you know, as he grows and as the sport grows here in Canada, it's going to be a pipeline, and looking forward to it. Obviously, you're seeing success without it, you know, on the Canadian side, you know, with Raphael Lessard and Stuart Friesen. But, you know, you touch on Alex Labbé, and you know, a couple million bucks would put that guy in a car for the entire season.
Yeah, that would put you in victory lane. I honestly believe it really would. Alex Labbé has got the potential to do that. We'll talk more Xfinity in a bit here. Just before we hit this break, Hubbell Cup, the guys get virtually no practice. I know they had one on Saturday. No qualifying. They pull them off the truck. They got, what, 50 minutes of practice and then right into today's race. What did you think of what we've seen today in the Ford EcoBoost 400?
The race itself played out, you know, I don't think any differently than anybody would have projected, because a lot of green flag runs. Throughout the field, there was no action on other than during the restarts that were planned.
That's it.
You know, like, it kind of disheartening a little bit, but the way that those races play out, because nobody wants to
be the guy.
Yeah. You don't want to be that guy that screws the race up for, you know, the championship four, and you know, it just kind of settles out. Which is, it's difficult because they're so fast. You know, the guys up front are so fast.
Yeah.
The top four in the championship were the top four fastest cars all day long. Now, they didn't finish 1 through 4. There was obviously issues that popped up on pit road, of course, for Denny Hamlin. A crazy move, and really an unheard of move, adding that much tape to a grill.
Yeah, never seen even a piece that big to put on a grill.
No.
Never.
I mean, you know, talking about it, you know, just in text during the race with a bunch of friends of mine, and I've never seen somebody take that big of a swing with tape. Now, I have with, like, two to go.
Yeah.
Two to go. I mean, there's a restart. There's going to be a green-white checkered. Yep. Cover half the grill, cover three-quarters of it. If she starts puking water, I mean, it's worth the chance. I mean, 1, 2, or maybe 3-inch max square piece of tape to block the grill off. I have never seen, you know, a 7-inch or 8-inch piece that will cover half the grill before.
Yeah.
That is a crazy amount of tape. And I think going back, that's going to be a very painful moment for Denny Hamlin.
Well, you could see him sitting in the car on pit road when he came back in to get that tape removed.
Just hot.
He was ripping inside that car.
Well, and you know, as it should be. I mean, no matter what, the tape means everything. And, you know, at those speeds, obviously, aero means everything. And they're trying to optimize temperature. Maybe he was running a little bit cool because it was in clean air for the entire time or what. I have never seen somebody take that big of a gamble. You know, it's that big of a gamble with tape is staggering to me, and I think to everybody else.
Big gamble the weekend before paid huge. So, did the crew chief maybe think, here, this is what I'm going to do?
That's far less of a gamble than covering half the grill.
Yeah, I realize
that. I mean,
that.
Staying out on old tires when your car is clicking off lap times, at least you can see what lap times you're going to run. You can't forecast how much half a grill is going to be covered and how much air that's going to stop.
Did the crew member make a mistake and put, like, grab too big of a chunk or, like,
that was a fabricated piece. And when you see a fabricated piece like that, like, it had the orange stripes on it, you know, you could see.
So no mistake.
I don't think that it's a mistake on the size. It obviously was looking back.
Right,
you know,
right.
They would want to have a smaller piece. But when they make a piece that big, it's made for that reason. You know, they are calculating it out and they want to have it to a certain, you know, coverage point. But, I mean, and I imagine some of it was circumstantial because he was mired in traffic a little bit, and you're not getting the air to the grill that you should have.
Right.
But I look at how many times we've seen great drivers or phenomenal drivers get to the point of a championship, run second or run third, and have something small fall apart the wheels fall off the wagon.
Yeah.
And them not be able to recover. Now, we've seen that a handful of times from Denny Hamlin.
Yeah.
We have seen bad things happen to Denny Hamlin. Yep. Getting close to crunch time.
Yep.
And you know, every time that that has happened, it has taken years to get back to that point where he has been good. And I fear that that is kind of the straw to break the camel's back. He's not getting younger.
No.
You know?
No.
And to dig out of a hole like that, that you created yourself, and it's not yourself, but I mean as the team.
Yeah, as the team.
You know, it's definitely disheartening, and you know, it can take a lot of momentum away from a race team. Because then people start pointing fingers internally.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can obviously create some hurt feelings and hurt relationships. And, you know, we'll see what can come of that that team next year. They obviously had the speed this year. They won, you know, what was it, six races?
Yeah.
They won a tremendous amount of races this year. Yeah. They had a great season. Joe Gibbs racing the winningest team in NASCAR history in one season.
Wow.
A big, big number. That being said, though, I think that that can be a very detrimental move to Denny Hamlin's career. Just having it, wanting it that bad, and being that far invested in it. And correct me if I'm wrong, you know, like, let me know if you feel that I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I mean, that can be, you know, that can really turn the tide and change.
Screw up a team. He's got to say happy birthday to him tomorrow. Tomorrow's his birthday. I believe they said on the broadcast today's his 39th birthday tomorrow. So
all he wants for his birthday is a little bit smaller piece of tape.
Just a little bit less. Okay, we're going to hit a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to grab Austin Hill. We'll talk about Friday night under the lights at Homestead Miami Speedway with the winner. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Todd Lewis. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tiltload, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning man.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL. Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
The 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spent our own money making our records, too, you know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167, and on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances. Concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that. If you shoot him, you just make him mad.
Yeah, don't shoot him. You'll only make him mad. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. We are working on Austin Hill. Heard Sue out there. Austin, have I got you? So maybe in a little bit of cell hell, he is driving back. So you never know. I know Sue's working on that, but
I imagine they're getting after it too.
Sure,
you gotta think about it, man. He just went to Victory Lane and Homestead Miami Speedway on Friday night. I'd be partying for 3 days straight.
Well, the message I got is he's driving, so yeah, it's going to be a little bit. But hey, what do you say? While we're working on getting Austin lined up here, let's have a listen to what Matt Crafton had to say. He was the champion at the end of this, his third one. Here's what he had to say about winning it.
It's an unbelievable feeling to be able to have three, and just the whole group behind me. I mean, Duke and Ron Thorson, Menards, and every one of these guys that build these trucks every week. I mean, Junior and I are just the lucky ones that I know he makes all the calls, but at the end of the day, these guys build these trucks, and we're fortunate enough to be able to. He makes the calls, and I get to drive these things. And this thing was phenomenal tonight. Hill had a rocket ship, and there at the end of the race, I felt like I could race him maybe harder, but at the same time, I know I could have lost a lot of time racing him. And at the end of the day, it was about winning the war, not just this battle.
So that is what Matt Crafton had to say. And lucky us, we do have the guy that won the race. Let's welcome in Austin Hill, now driver, the number 16. Austin, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Glad I could finally connect with you guys.
No, worked out well, man. I know you're in cell hell on your way home, but hey, what a weekend for you. Congratulations, winning both stages and the race. Man, you made a statement there Friday night, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I have to, you know, give it to all my guys at the race shop. You know, they gave me a really awesome piece. In practice, we thought we were really good. We knew that the 88 was pretty strong, looking at lap time and going through some notes and just looking at average time and how fast people could fire off. And we didn't think that we had a great truck, you know, to fire off, but we knew we had pretty good long run speed. And that just seemed to show that once we got about, you know, anywhere between 5 and 10 laps on the tires, whenever they would start falling off, we could keep wrapping the bottom like we wanted to all day. And that's what ultimately made the difference in our truck versus everyone else's. We could really run the bottom whenever we wanted to. And if the guy in front of me was running the bottom, I could run the top, and it wouldn't slow down my time any. So it's awesome to have a truck like that. You don't get it all the time, so it's really fun when you have a truck that you can move around with.
You got a driver behind the wheel, too, that knows what to do with that machine, and you definitely did an awesome job on Friday night. Wee bit of a nail-biter for you, Stu. Weather in the area really played havoc. You guys practiced in the morning, and then it was a long hurry up and wait for the rest of the day. What was that like, sort of sitting on the sidelines waiting for the rain to blow away so you guys could even get to it?
I mean, it's always nerve-wracking when you practice early in the morning, and then you don't get to go on the racetrack until I think we fired the engine up around 9:30 at night. So it's always nerve-wracking because you practice at 9 and 10 o'clock in the morning, and then you sit around all day. You know, qualifying got rained out, so we didn't get to do that, and then we don't fire the engines up until 9:30 at night. So it's a lot of stress and nerve-wracking, and you just want to get out there and get strapped in and get going, because it just seems like a lot of times when you're sitting there, you just start overthinking a lot of things and thinking about, man, what's the track going to do now that it's green? Is the tires going to hold up the whole stage? Do we need to try to save our tires a little more in the first stage so they don't wear out as much? So there's a lot that goes through your mind, and I know it does for my whole team, especially the crew chief, Scott Zipidelli. Man, he never stopped. It's just, you know, and all my guys are that way. They never stop. And, you know, he's constantly looking through video and looking through stuff. I mean, we were watching video. We were watching Dartfish. We were watching all kinds of stuff. We watched the race from last year again before we went out to race, since we had the rain delay, and just took in a lot of notes just to try to be as prepared as we could. And, you know, it all paid off in the end.
Well, that's saying a lot, too, about the crew, right? You go out there at 10 o'clock in the morning, you practice in the conditions that you practiced in, and there was nobody that could have looked into a crystal ball and said, oh, okay, Austin, you're not going to go green until 9:30 tonight, and the conditions are going to be drastically different. Zippy must have had that sort of figured in to the setup, because right in off the bat, you were quick in that 16 truck.
Yeah, you know, he does so much work behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see and realize. I mean, he's constantly up throughout the night. I'm sure he was up the night before practice going through notes and doing some sim work and looking through all of his notes that Toyota gives him and doing all those things. So he really had a plan put in place in case we started off way too loose or we started off way too tight. And you know, the truck didn't start off perfect. When we started the race and the track was green, we were really tight to fire off. We were really, really tight. And the truck just kept coming to me. The longer we ran, the freer the truck got, the better it started turning. And, you know, even though we won those first two stages, when we came into pit there at the end of the race, when we had those green flag pit stops, I was telling them, man, this thing is plowing, you know. And we're still the fastest thing on the racetrack, but... Yeah. I was still wanting some changes made. I wasn't really happy with how we were. I felt like we could have been a little bit better. And, you know, we made some changes there at the end. And when we put those new tires on, that's the best it had fired off all night. And I knew that they were definitely in trouble then, because we hadn't really had a truck that would fire off great on restarts. We could hold our own. But, you know, when it fired off really good after I came out of the pit, during that green flag run, and I could really hustle it with those fresh tires, I knew that we were going to be able to steal the deal. I felt very confident, even if we had a late race caution, that our truck was just that good with the adjustments we made at the end, that we were going to be really good on the short run, even if we had to have a short dash to the finish.
Absolutely, and a lot of fun to watch. Obviously, Homestead is cool and fun because of that tire fall off. It's got to be, you got to have a big grin on your face when you do fire off pit road like that. It did look like a spaceship after that point.
Yeah. I mean, it was just on rails all night. You know, like I said, we were tight at the beginning, but even though we were tight, we could still run the bottom unlike anyone else could. And, you know, a lot of guys in front of me were fighting loose and fighting tight. You know, they couldn't stay committed to the bottom like we could. I really was really patient with the gas. I could drive in really deep, but I could also get it slowed down enough in the center to get it rotating, get it cutting, and then be able to put the throttle down really, really hard on exit and have really good straightaway speed. Scott, you know, Scott and HRE, they've won two in a row at Homestead, so they got that place figured out. I wish we were going there again next season at the end of the year, just because of how good we are there and just because of how good the racing is there. You can race each other. You can run the bottom. You can run the middle. You can run the top all the way up against the fence. I just feel like the racing is really good there, and I hate that we don't get to go there next year, because I feel like we're going to be very good, you know, on the mile and a half. And I know that me and Scott and everybody back in the shop know that we got to go to work on our short track program. So that's kind of what we're going to do in the off season. We're going to go through notes. We're going to look at anything and everything we can, you know, driver-wise, communication-wise between me and Scott, what I'm wanting more of, what I'm not liking on the short tracks, and just try to get a little bit better, because I feel like our mile-and-a-half program's there. I feel like it's where it needs to be. I just feel like you know, especially since we're running Phoenix as the last race next year, we got to be a little bit better on these short tracks. And it's nothing huge. We just need a little bit. We got to find just a little bit of short run speed, and we just got to be a little bit better just all around. So that's something that we're really going to hit it hard on in the off season. And hopefully we can start off the season on the right foot when we go to one of those short tracks.
Absolutely. So the way that you're talking, it sounds like you're back with HRE in the 16. Is that a for sure done deal?
Yeah. It's a done deal. We actually made the announcement, I think right before Phoenix, I believe, right before we went to Phoenix, and I couldn't be more happy to be able to go back to Hattori Racing Enterprises and get to work with all these guys for a second year. It's always hard when you go to a new team and, you know, you and the team and you and the crew chief definitely have to have a lot of good chemistry and gel right and do all those things right. So at the start of the season, we had to figure each other out. We had to figure out, you know, if I liked a looser race truck or if I wanted a tighter race truck or, you know, how I drove the trucks and how my braking was and it just everything that goes into it. He had to figure me out because every driver is different. You know, we all go out there and we all compete, but we all drive a little bit different than the other guy. So you always have that hurdle that you have to overcome and cross when you're with a new driver, with a new crew chief. So I had to figure him out. He had to figure me out. And, it's been a really smooth transition this year. You know, there's been some bumps in the road, just like any other race team. You're going to have times that you're a little off and you're going to go through those transitions where you're trying to figure it out and you're having those ups and downs. And, we had a roller coaster season, but it's awesome to have four wins at the end of the year. And show everybody that, you know, we felt like we should have been in that final four. We just had some stuff happen in the round of six that didn't go our way. We got in a wreck at Martinsville that hurt us really, really bad. And then, Phoenix, we were just a little bit off and a guy missed a shift on the last restart and put us that much further behind. So that kind of took us out of contention because it was really hard to pass at Phoenix. And, so yeah, I mean, we just got to clean up some stuff next year in the round of six, and I think we'll be all right.
Austin, looking at your driving career and getting to this point where you're at today, you've had a very, very unique resume leading up to this point. You know, obviously all the way through your career on the K&N side, both on the East and then, you know, a couple races on the West, a couple races in ARCA, but you've had a very unique path to getting to where you're at. And I know that, you know, you guys have had family teams, you know, that you drove for and you know, you built yourself to the point, of getting to and getting with the number 16 team. Take the listener back and kind of any driver that's listening out there, you've taken a very unique path of you know, kind of grooming yourself to getting to the point of getting into the number 16 truck.
Yeah, so I started racing when I was 6 years old, and we've always done it as a family-owned team all the way up until the truck series. We've always had it where it was me and my dad owning all the equipment. I'd be in the shop helping out as much as I could. And, you know, we had a few, just a handful of guys, you know, two guys in the shop helping us out throughout, you know, our path. And, you know, we started out in quarter midgets when I was 6 years old. We moved up to the Bandoleros and Legend Car Series, ran that for a long time. Like I said, doing it ourselves. And when we did the quarter midgets and when we did the Bandoleros and the Legend cars, me and my dad did all of that on our own. We did our own setups. We did, we had some guys help us along the way and kind of guide us, but we would always, if we needed some help, we'll take it to a guy and maybe have him set it up, get it all ready for us. And then we'll take it back, do some measurements and do all those things to see, you know, how he set it up, and then we take it and we're the ones working on it week in and week out. And, you know, that's just how we've always done it. And then, you know, even when we got into the asphalt late models, it was the same deal. We had a couple guys helping us out. They would come to the racetrack and crew chief it for us, and do that. And, you know, I did a handful of dirt racing, not a whole lot. And then when I got into the NASCAR K&N series, I had two guys in the shop and me working on it, working on the K&N car. We didn't even have a full-time crew chief. The year that I finished third in the points, I think we went through four different crew chiefs that year just because we didn't want to ever hire, we didn't want to commit to hiring a full-time crew chief. We would just get somebody to come on the weekend and make the calls for us throughout the race, and that was it. So it was me and two other guys in the shop grinding out, you know, doing all the things we could to compete at the highest level. And we won races in K&N, and we ran really good. And we tried to do that, you know, in the truck series. We tried to do our family-owned deal, and we did the first year 10 races and the second year 10 races as well. And we just figured out very quickly how hard it is to compete in the truck series because you got wind tunnel time, you got pull down time, seven post time. There is so much that goes into it. And then you also have your manufacturer, whatever manufacturer you're running for, giving you backing. And when you're a family owned team, they don't all the time give you any type of backing. So it makes it that much harder at the racetrack. So we realized very quickly that once we got to the truck level, we couldn't do the family operation anymore. It was way too stressful, just too much that went into it. So that's when we got with Young's Motorsports for the season of 2018, ran the full season. And it just opened the door for me. Mike Greasy saw what I was doing in underfunded equipment, saw that he felt like that what I was doing in that equipment, I was performing where I needed to perform in that equipment. And he felt like if you know, we got all the pieces and everything together, and dollars and cents added up, that I could come over there and win races. And so we put our heads together and we tried to make it work. And, you know, I've always told my dad when I was younger that I always wanted to just get one chance to go run a full season with a big team to show what I could do and see if I could win races. And if I couldn't win races, then I would hang it up and that would be it. You know, just I wanted to give myself that opportunity to go out there and prove to everybody that I could win races and run up front. And I feel like we've been able to do that this season with HRE. And like I said, I couldn't be more happy to go back with them in 2020 and hopefully picked up a lot more wins than we did this year.
Absolutely. And what a beautiful season you put together. We've got Austin Hill on the line with us. Of course, he won at Homestead Miami Speedway Friday night to close the truck season down. Four wins this year, Austin. You're making the most of the opportunities. And I know 2020, this is going to be lights out. You know, I think you have to have a page in your book like you had this year. I know it was bitter. You wanted to be in that Final Four, and man, you could have been in that Final Four if it wasn't for circumstances. And you know what? I think drivers that experience what you did this year only come out of the box stronger the next year, especially when they stay with the team and are able to grow some more. You, my friend, have got to be one of those favorites in 2020. I would think.
Yes.
I would think. I think we lost him.
I think.
There we go. Yeah. We can hear the magic. We lost him.
The old cell.
Yeah.
The old cell hell.
Yeah.
But,
tough deal.
But no, you know what? And the reason why I wanted to put a microscope on his resume, you know, there's two drivers that stand out that are doing a very similar path, right? And it obviously always, you know, costs money to be a part of this deal, and it works out to you need to find funding to make everything happen.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, it's easy enough if you have the money to go and sign up today with a big name team. If
yes.
you have enough money, you could go drive for Gibbs today.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, if I had $20 million in my bank account today and I said, I want to be a NASCAR Xfinity driver, within a year, I could be there.
Well, you got to prove that you can be there.
You got to prove that you can be there. You got to get approved and all that stuff. But if you got enough money, you can make it happen. The reason why I bring up and you know, really look at his resume and say this is unique is because he did the family operation all the way up to the point.
Yep.
He's versed in what it takes to operate, what it takes to be there the next week, what it takes to get to the racetrack. And you know, he is super gracious. You know, you hear it in every interview.
Yes.
His guys at the shop work their bag off. Well, they do. They work hard. And, you know, the neat part is now he's got, you know, a group of 15 guys or 18 guys, however many people work at the 16 truck, versus two, right? Versus
right.
two or three or
yep.
a couple of volunteers and two or three employees. But the really unique part is, and it goes back to whether you're in late models or whether you're in super stocks or if you're at the top level of our sport. If you drive equipment that doesn't handle well, and you outperform where that equipment should be, it makes you a better driver.
Sure it does.
Also, if you drive against people who are in that equipment, you learn the entire time. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you are a late model guy that is winning here in Ontario and you go to Nashville for the weekend to race against other guys and get your butt waxed. You're going to leave there and you just learnt a bunch.
Yep.
And you're going to bring it back here to Ontario. And you're gonna see what that guy did when he passed you. You know, you're gonna see what that guy did to get under you on that restart. You're gonna see all those little intricacies. You're gonna look around in the pits and you're gonna see that one specific part. You're gonna see that one specific thing that those guys are doing that adds to your program. And you know, you look at a guy like Austin Hill, he drove trucks that did not have the speed to win.
Right.
Right? Like with his family owned stuff, he was a 25th place guy.
Yep.
But the entire time outperforming where he should be.
Yeah.
And you know, another name that pops up into that list that everybody talks about being the guy for the blue collar guy is Ross Chastain.
Yeah.
Ross Chastain had, you know, decent opportunities leading up to it, wasn't ready with BKR. BKR wasn't performing to where they should have been. And it all came out in the wash. Then he goes and drives for Johnny Davis and everything turns around. Right? Through outperforming where that equipment should be. And the same path is Austin Hill and what he is taking right now. He is driving, you know, top-notch stuff now. You cannot write the 16 truck off at every single racetrack that it unloads at. It can win.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's driving top-notch stuff, but he's getting the results to back it up. And, I you know, if you are a driver that is, you know, focused on development, you want to move forward, photocopy those two guys' resumes and take a look, because those are two guys that are going to remain in the sport for a long period of time, and you know, they're going to be remembered for what they can do behind the wheel.
Well, it's too bad we lost Austin, but I can tell you, we will get him back. If we don't get him back later today, we'll get him back another time. It was great, though, that Austin Hill joined us here on Race Time. We're going to hit a quick break. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Pete Becknell from Merrittville Speedway, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Logano's in the wall. He'll slide up, and he'll slam on the Sabre Baron, and he kicks Larson. He'll send Larson.
The thrill of the race. Live from the track.
Sliding into it, out of control.
It's unbelievable how quickly things can change in racing.
There's no weak spot.
You just never know how it's going to play out.
Insider access to the drivers.
We'll roll with it. We're enjoying it. We'll collect as many trophies as we can.
And the exclusive home to Happy Hours, hosted by Kevin Harvick.
It's a new normal. Better figure it out.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167. Racetime Radio. Only on Sirius XM 167. We get you close.
I want my MPG.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Race Time Radio on Sirius XM 167. Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in, I might add, here on Sirius XM Channel 167. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior here in the RTR studio. Just heard from Austin Hill. He is on his way back from Homestead. Ran into a little bit of cell hell, as we call it, and we lost him. But we will catch up with Austin again one night. Looking here just down the road, just a little wee bit, we've got Rafael Lazard coming up. A big announcement just a couple of days ago. He is going to be driving for KBM in that Gander Truck Series in 2020. And we're going to have Rafael with us here on the program. Just want to get to the other side of the news update that's going to take place. Otherwise, we get Rafael on here and then have to drop him off. So we've got lots of questions for him. We're going to grab him in just a couple of moments here. Let's listen now to what Junior Joinder, the crew chief for Matt Crafton's number 88 Menards Ford. Let's hear what Junior had to say in the media center after the big championship race on Friday night. Of course, those guys are three-time champions. Now, here's what Junior had to say.
Yeah, that's all that matters is we had a rough one. We've had a couple rough ones. And, you know, I've been waiting for a long time. I lost my mom earlier in the year, and I've been waiting for the day that I could tell her thank you and I could give her one. And we gave her the big one. You know, I've been waiting to win a race, and so I could dedicate it to her. But we're gonna dedicate the award to her. And she always came here. She was at both our championship wins. She lived down here, and it was a hard one. It was a tough interview tonight. I know I had an angel on my shoulder tonight. I was praying for no yellow at the end. But I think our truck was good enough, and he was good enough on the restarts. Maybe we could have won the thing. Who knows? You know. But you just don't want that circumstance. You just want. We had like a 10-second delta. I wanted to keep it that way. So it's been a rough year. For sure, we've had a lot of issues, but we've had speed, and we kind of made a pact that we were going to stick with a certain package, you know, dating back to last year. And I feel like we're, I don't know, you're driving it. I feel like we're making gains on it.
Yeah, I'd say we made gains, without a doubt. I mean, yeah, we haven't won. We didn't win tonight, but at the end of the day, we can always say we won the battle. We got the big trophy at the end of the year. That's all that matters, and it feels damn good, I'll tell you that much.
Too cool. Matt Crafton, Junior Joinder, been with these guys, 3 years out at the IWK 250 out at Riverside International Speedway. Matt and Junior come in. Now, they didn't come in this year. They were there.
Kenny Wallace has been there 2 years.
Kenny Wallace has been there 2 years, but Matt Crafton did come in for the fall race.
Okay.
It's not the IWK 250, but yep. Matt's been back there 3 times. What I'm getting at is those guys are they're just true racers. Like, yep. Amazing. They love the short tracks. Of course, they love doing their truck racing, but kind of cool to watch them in action, even on the short tracks. Good for them, guys.
Yeah, and you know what? I find it really interesting. There was a bunch of people on Twitter. Like, your 2019 champion didn't win. And you know, throwing shade at the fact that he didn't win the race.
Oh, didn't
or
win the
race.
Or
win
a race, yeah.
And here's the way I look at it. If you finish second or third or in the top five every single week in any conventional points scenario, you can point your way into winning the championship without winning the race.
Sure.
It does not matter if you won the race or not. It matters that you gained more points than the other guys.
And
when I look at
Mr.
Matt Crafton,
consistency.
He pointed his way all the way through. If anything, it's harder to win the championship without winning than it is to win the championship with wins.
Yep.
To me,
I agree.
In especially in this scenario, you know, it's even harder to win the championship this way because all you have to do is win and you advance to the next round. It doesn't matter from the initial playoff round to the end, you have to win to advance, and or you need to point your way in, and he pointed his way in all the way through. and through that pointed his way in past guys that were winning.
Yeah.
So it, to me, the fact that he didn't win at all this season and won the championship is a bigger feat than if he had have picked up a couple wins and advanced.
Yeah.
And it shows how truly consistent the guy is. It's, we're not saying that he didn't win in the playoffs. We're saying that he didn't win at all.
At all. All
and,
season
and
long.
And that goes to show how good that team is and how good Matt Crafton is at managing situation and managing scenarios in order to get there.
Yeah, and so, how much needling did those guys take?
They're absolutely.
Not winning, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, oh, yeah. So, everybody was on them. When is it going to happen? When is it going to happen?
And people will be on him even harder now, the fact that he won the championship without doing it. Next year, though, you know, you look at the speed trend and you look at how good they were. The final six races, they could have won in the final six races,
yep.
For sure.
Yep.
And I look back to, you know, I look back to Eldora, where Matt Crafton should have won that race. He was lights out good.
Yes.
At Eldora. He was good at a handful of races. Obviously, the restrictor plate races he was wicked at this year. But it, really interesting to see the dynamic of the fan base saying he didn't win and pointing the finger and saying this is a, you know, a shoddy points system. Well, it's not the case at all.
No.
It's even harder to win
yeah.
without winning now than what it used to be.
Yeah.
So I look at it, you got to cherish that victory. Winning the war is more than winning the battle. And they went out there and won the war. And, you know, the one thing that did, you know, kind of shock me is the triple burnout scenario that we've seen at Homestead.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
we had three people celebrating, or three teams celebrating big.
Yeah.
On Friday night. We had Austin Hill, of course, going to Victory Lane. We had Matt Crafton winning
the championship,
the driver's championship. And then we had Kyle Busch and the 51 team. This week was Christian Eckes, but we had the 51 team celebrating the fact that they won the owner's championship.
Yeah.
So really, when you look at the dynamic of Friday night, it was really cool.
Yeah, it was.
And pretty historic too, that you don't normally see that.
No.
You know, on, we see Toyota, they locked up the championship months ago on the manufacturer.
Right.
Kyle Busch's team won the championship, and also won the race. So it definitely a different dynamic with Matt Crafton and those guys. But I wanted to shut people up because
yeah.
I think that's pretty cool that he did it without winning.
Yeah, he did. And we're right up alongside it. We got to throw it back to Toronto. We're going to get you that 60-second news update highlight. And then we're going to come back to you for hour number two tonight. Got to let you know, we got Rafael Lazard going to come up on the other side of it. We're also going to hear from Mario Goslin here tonight. Kyle Busch we'll hear from yet. Tyler Reddick we'll hear from, and even Richard Childress. Got a little bit of something with everybody, and we're going to get to that in just about 90 seconds from now. But we're going to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date, and then Junior and I are going to be back here for hour number two tonight, right here on Racetime Radio. On Sirius XM, channel 167, Canada Talks. Stay right there. We will be back. Rafael Lazard is coming up next. Stay with us. We will be back.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90, is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with our number two of race. Race Time Radio. With the two Joes. Here on Race Time Radio. On Sirius XM 167. Where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins tonight, right here on Race Time Radio. Now, it was a busy weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway. And, of course, we mentioned it just before the break there that Kyle Busch is a seven-time Truck Series owner champion. Here's what Kyle Busch had to say in the media center at the end of it.
I don't know. We just keep trying, keep doing. Obviously, with the amount of support and everything that we've got from Toyota and TRD and those guys, it's really an opportunity to, of a lifetime to have a Truck Series team and as competitive as we do, especially with the amount of workforce that we do with Rudy Fugel and Mike Hillman, as well as Marcus Smith, Marcus Richmond, excuse me. I'm thinking Chandler Smith. but overall, just everybody works so hard at the shop, and they do such a phenomenal job, especially Rudy, of being able to lead and really keep our program on top and on the next level of superstardom, and being able to continue to help these young drivers along and being able to get them to the next level. So obviously we know Harrison's moving up for next year, and we've got Ekas coming on board for full-time, and Rafael Assard as well too. So really excited about those two guys joining our program and having an opportunity to go out there and try to win some races and continue on up through the ladder.
How cool is that for Kyle Busch? He mentions Rafael Assard, and we have Rafael with us on the hotline. Rafael, how are you tonight, buddy?
Pretty good. What about you?
Doing fantastic. Thanks so much. I know we're running a little behind tonight, and you got bumped over here a little bit. But, hey, great news. Kyle Busch announced you're going to be with KBM next year. That's huge.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. We've been working really hard the past couple of years to get to this point in my career, and I'm very excited for next year, and I just can't thank everyone enough, my parents, TRD and Kyle Busch for their confidence in me for going on to next year, and also all the people that invested time and effort in me to get me to this point.
You know, Rafael, you have made the most of every opportunity that you have had, whether it be a late model, a super late model, a truck, a K&N car, a Pinty's race. You've won one of those now. Man, oh, man, this is really cool. And you got to know that KBM has got a really good eye for talent. You and Christian Ekas are going to be two great teammates. You're going to be a threat out there in 2020 in that truck.
Yeah, hopefully. It's going to be a lot of learning, and there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to be new for me, like super speedway, mile and a half, and all that aero stuff. It's going to be very hard, I think, at first, but I'm going to be with a really good team, Kyle Busch Motorsport, surrounded by really good people, like my crew chief, probably. I don't know who is going to be my crew chief yet, but they're all good there, so I'm just really blessed for this opportunity, and I'm ready. I've been waiting a long time for this, and it's just a dream come true.
Fantastic. Do you know what truck number you're going to be in next year?
Yeah, I'll be in the 4 truck.
The number 4. Good stuff. That's going to be really good. Now, how do you prepare? Your first race off is going to be Daytona International Speedway on Speed Weeks. It's going to kick the whole thing off. How do you prepare for Daytona now in the off season? What are you going to do?
Well, I prepare by watching videos and just working with the team and trying to get as much advice as I can from guys like Kyle Busch. He's going to be my boss next year again, and I want to congrats him for his championship. It's really cool for him and his family. And, yeah, just going to have to just study some video from the past couple of years. And I'm going to have some time on the simulator with TRD, so that's a plus for me. And I'm just really excited to get going, man. It's It's a great opportunity.
Absolutely. Raphael, I know that you've already ran in the Truck Series. You know, you've ran five races. You've done very well in each of them. But it seems like at you know, at the beginning portion of the year, when somebody relatively new is stepping in at Daytona, we see them having to run the ARCA race to both get approved and also get some seat time. Is that in the cards for you? Do you know that yet, or do you need to run the ARCA race? How does that shake out in you know, getting approved to run Daytona?
That's what we're looking at right now. We're not exactly sure yet, but if I have to run the ARCA race, it's going to be I'll have to do it, and it's going to be a plus for me. It's going to be even better because I'm going to get more seat time at Daytona, and I'm going to be able to see what it is to be around people and with the draft and everything. So, yeah, I'm not sure yet if I'll be approved right away or if I'm going to have to run the ARCA race. But either it's going to – I'm sure it's going to – be really good.
Absolutely.
No, man, that's going to be off the hook. Can't wait to see you at Daytona. This is going to be kind of cool. Snowball Derby's right around the corner. Do I even need to ask, are you going to run that Snowball Derby this year?
Right now, not right now. I would love to. It's probably my favorite race in a super late model. It's so much fun. There's so much pressure, and it's just you're racing against the best in the business, and it's the race that everyone wants to win. So we were really close last year, but we had a mechanical failure at the end. That kind of when I talk about it, it hurts.
Yeah, I can well imagine.
But if something comes together with a sponsor or something, I would love to run it, but we're just trying to focus as much as we can on next year, because our first goal is to focus on next year and try to be ready for it and just give my 200% every single week.
Nothing wrong with that at all, and that's pretty well the way you have ran your full career so far. Anytime, Raphael, you get behind the wheel, I know you're 100% focused and dedicated to the task at hand, and there's nothing wrong with that, man. The full truck series in 2020 with you behind the wheel, Canada's got to love it. If Stuart Friesen ends up getting back behind the wheel of the 52 and we got you behind the wheel of the four car, we got two of the best Canadians behind the wheel of these trucks, it's going to be off the hook. It's going to be truly great news for all Canadian race fans.
Oh, yeah, for sure, and I'll never forget where I'm from, and I'll probably move to Morrisville in January to be around the team and around the racing world a little bit more. But I'm from Quebec, Canada, and I'm going to try to make you guys proud.
You're going to. I can guarantee it. You're already doing that, buddy. You're already making us all proud to be short track race fans, and you can bet there's a pile of truck fans out there that when they heard this news that Raphael Lazard is going to be in a KBM piece, it's music to our ears. So you're going to head down there. You'll get prepared in the off season. How about support, sponsorship on that truck? How is that effort coming along?
We're still working on it for who is going to be on the truck for the full season, but we still have room on the truck for the 22 races. There's still some spot left for partners that want to get on board and some for a future sponsor and partners, but right now we signed for the 22 races, so we're going to run the 22 races because of some great people that I'm surrounded, and it's just I'm really blessed because I'm really lucky to be able to have this deal done, and I have great people that support me since the beginning of my career.
Man, you have earned this opportunity, my friend. It's going to be kind of cool. Anybody that has been with you through your short track days, through your cutting your teeth, so to speak, do you have anybody that is going to come with you onto that number four team from up here?
On the four team, I would say since the beginning, well, I have a partner that's going to be with me, that is with me since the beginning. That is, his name is Carol. He's been helping us since the beginning, since I first started racing in the U.S. And he's always been with me, and he's just awesome. It's because of people like him that I'm at this point in my career. And also my parents. My parents have worked super hard and have sacrificed a lot to get me to this point, and I just can't thank them enough. I'm really lucky to have great parents like this. They have a really good business, FR Express, but we needed help from people like Carol, like I said, and I just can't thank them enough.
Raphael, we would be remiss not to ask, you know, kind of going into a full season with KBM. I don't think it's fully public knowledge, you know, the way that Kyle Busch and the way he looks at his development drivers and the standard that he holds everybody to. He definitely very, you know, adamant that the people that sit in his truck every given weekend need to perform. Talk to us a little bit about how you approach the season and plan to appease that hunger for success. Do you feel a little bit of added pressure, you know, going into this deal, given the fact that he's been very vocal talking about, how his drivers need to perform?
Yeah, I mean, there's always pressure. Kyle, when he gets in his truck, he wins. So he knows his truck can win, and I'm with a team that wants to win and can win. And that's what I want to be with people that – I want to be with a team that wants to win, and that's what I want to do. I want to win. But at first, I just want to learn and gain some experience. And I think if I do my best every single week and show them what I can do, I'm sure Kyle's going to be happy, and I won't – every time I go on the racetrack and a new racetrack, I ask him advice and try to apply them on the racetrack. And I think when he sees that, he really likes it. But you know, he's really good, and it's for a reason. He wants perfection. He wants it to be perfect every single weekend. He wants us to do the best job we can. So I think that's what makes him really good.
Absolutely.
So I think, when you look at someone like Kyle Busch, I want to be like him, and I want to be as good as he is on the racetrack. And to be like him, I think you gotta listen to him and try to learn from him. And if he puts pressure on me, I'll just deal with it. I'm trying to get better. I think if he tells me advice and put pressure on me, it's for good reasons, because he believes in me, and I'm just going to try to do my best, and it shows that he cares.
100%. 100%. And you couldn't answer that question any better. I'm sorry to corner you like that, by the way. I mean, you could have stepped on your face there a little bit. and after I asked it, I felt a little bad, but you answered it perfectly. You, obviously, you know, everybody up here is behind you and excited to see what you can do. We've already seen glimpses of what you can do, and that is, it's been all positive thus far. Obviously you're a short track guy. You've driven everything late models and super late models and really the experience that you have with, you know, the heavier stock cars is all on short tracks. So I think I know the answer to this question before I ask it, but, is there a place where you see yourself really excelling right out of the gate? Would it be the short tracks? Would it be the road courses? What is the outlook look like for you? What are you most excited for to get to in that four truck?
I would say the short track. I've always raced in short tracks, and I think I'm really good at it. And I know what I'm doing when it's about short track, but hopefully I'm good in every racetrack I go to.
Absolutely.
That's the goal. I'm just going to... Like, when people ask me what's my favorite racetrack, I just see the next one I go to.
The next one that is on the schedule.
Yeah, the next one on the schedule. So now the next one is Daytona. So that's going to be my favorite one. And I'm just going to study it as hard as I can and try to get there as prepared as I can. And hopefully we do good there. But I'm just going to take it easy at first. And it's step by step.
Now, I've got to ask you this question before my dad asks it, and simply just to put a little bit of light and also to kind of throw a dart at Stuart Friesen here a little bit, too. My dad has asked Stuart Friesen each time, are you going to, you know, wave that big Canadian flag when you get out in Victory Lane the next time? Are you gonna have a Canadian flag with you on that hauler for when you go to Victory Lane?
I thought about it.
I think
yeah,
you
I
should.
I thought about it, when you see, I think it's Brad Keselowski that does it.
Yeah.
With, the American flag. But I thought about it. That would be really cool.
Well, I think back in Nelson Piquet.
Yeah, Nelson Piquet did
in
it.
In the truck. Yep. He did it with his country flag. And I know for sure, Raphael, if Alex Tagliani was to hit Victory Lane in a truck, an Xfinity car, I can just about guarantee you that Canadian flag would have popped out, and I'm just praying one day we're going to have a Canadian hit Victory Lane, Gatorade Victory Lane in the U.S., and you're going to pop out with that Canadian flag. I'll tell you what, this country will go nuts.
Yeah, I keep that in mind. Yeah. That would be really cool.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, KVM has hired the right guy in you. They are definitely, they've got a guy that's going to go over the top to try and please. I know the pressure isn't going to get to you. There is no pressure when you're getting out there and you're doing what you love to do and you're good at it. Raphael Lazard, you are really good at this game. And I believe the rest of North America, if they haven't seen you yet, they're about to. And it's going to be very interesting. I know we look forward to getting you back on the program again before Daytona to see how the preparations are all coming. But we wanted to get you on tonight and definitely congratulate you on a job well done to this point. This is going to be cool, my friend.
Thank you very much, and thanks a lot for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Hey, how can fans stay along with you? You got Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff.
Yeah, I got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Raphael Lessar, and also have a website, RaphaelLessar.com. So we try to stay on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram as much as we can, and to keep the fan involved.
Yes, sir, and we will be. I can guarantee you that. Raphael, thanks so much for the time tonight, buddy. You have a good one.
You too. Thank you.
You bet. That's Raphael Lazard. Watch out. He is going to be dynamite, Junior, in that truck.
He's going to do a lot of great things. And, you know, I asked the question on Kyle Busch, you know, being, you know, so vocal to his young talent that is sitting in his truck.
Well, he pushes on him.
And he pushes on him hard. And, you know, I've worked with a lot of French Canadians. Right? I've
right.
worked with, you know, Andrew Ranger. I've worked a little bit with LP Dumoulin.
Tags.
Of course, Tags. Yep.
Yep.
I honestly feel that the vibe that comes off of a French-Canadian that is good behind the wheel, like Lessard, like Ranger, like Tagliani, you know, they are a very focused bunch and arguably the most focused, you know, style of racer that you could find. And I've worked with a lot of, you know, guys from Ontario. I've worked with U.S. guys. I've worked with, you know, guys across Canada. And a guy like Raphael Lessard is going to soak up that information. And the pressure that gets put on his shoulders is only going to be turned into fuel. And
yeah.
And I think that, you know, given the situations that I've seen Raphael in, he gives 110% every single lap from the drop of the green flag in practice to the drop of the checkered flag in the race. And, you know, that's the style that Kyle Busch likes. You know, Kyle Busch doesn't get out front and ride. He might save his tires while he's out there, but he's not laying down slow laps. He's not going out and laying down an egg, you know, trying to keep his car under him. he'll go out there and drive 110% still, but do it in a way that'll save the tires, you know? So he's pulling away constantly. And that it, that fire is the same type of fire that you see out of Tagliani or Ranger. You know, a guy like DJ will get out front, and as soon as he's got a four-second lead, it's not that he lays down. He tries to really, like, back it down and save the car.
Sure.
And that is not in the DNA of a majority of French-Canadian drivers. And I'm using a stereotype, but it's because of what I've seen.
Right.
And, you know, the style that Raphael has is go, go, go. And I think that that is going to be so fruitful with the relationship with KBM.
You know, I don't know whether it was Raphael's last truck race, like the last one he ran, or it was in this past season anyway. It was after the race was over. I want to say it was Ross Chastain roughed him up.
Yep, yep.
And I remember seeing the camera pan over, and Raphael got under that truck, and he went over, and he had words with Ross Chastain. He wasn't being like a forceful dude, but he wanted answers.
Absolutely.
Because Raphael wasn't running Ross that way, and he wanted to know why he was roughing him up.
Yep.
But that's the kind of fire.
Didn't shy away from it.
No, did not.
Did not shy away from it, and also didn't go and wreck him after on pit lane.
Nope.
But went straight to him after, and you know, it's
tells you a lot about a driver.
He's a very fiery individual. You know, I look back to getting to watch him this year. I got to watch him on three very different racetracks, and Autodrome Chaudière, obviously, he laid down a whooping on everybody.
Yeah.
He went to victory lane, rain shortened race, but went to victory lane, and I think he would have regardless. I watched him at Trois-Rivières,
mm-hmm.
and he wasn't in a full-blown road course car. He was in an oval car that was kind of repurposed as a road course car. He was decent there. He laid down some decent lap times. You know, he was there. He was competitive. Watch him at the Canadian Short Track Nationals at Jukasa.
Yes, yes.
He obliterated the right side of that car, not from his doing. Tire went down, and he went straight into the fence.
Yeah.
Was having a great run before that. But, you know, it's really interesting to see his driving style on all three of those different tracks. Like, you can't get much different between Jukasa, a little tight bullring like Chaudière, and you know, the most technical road course in Canada, the Trois-Rivières. It's going to be really interesting to see. And obviously, we got a chance to see him at CTMP as well, where he competed in a KBM truck.
Yeah, yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what he can put together. I think that everybody in Canada is pulling for him.
Sure.
You know, definitely a guy to join. If you're a Canadian company that sells product in the U.S., I'd pick up the phone.
Yeah, I would too. You'd have an awesome opportunity with Raphael and KBM. It's going to be very, very interesting to see what all unfolds, and I just have my fingers crossed. I'm hoping that Stuart Friesen is back in that number 52 in 2020. Man, that guy is so good behind the wheel. He's got a couple wins now. He didn't have the race he wanted at Homestead. It was looking really good, and then, you know what, you get one set of tires that's a little bit different, and it can make a huge difference. And I believe that's what happened to Stu on Friday night, because it was looking like we had a really good shot at a championship, which we did.
Yep.
But you know what? Stu had a good, successful season. Nothing to be ashamed of. I just hope we can get him in the 52, get Raphael in the 4. Look out. I'll tell you what. It's going to be a dynamite 2020 season in those trucks, as it always is. They are coming back to Canada in 2020, back to CTMP. It'll be on the Labor Day weekend, and I wouldn't doubt if the tickets aren't on sale yet, they will be in short order. You want to pick them up. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, love talking to this next guest. Mario Goslin is going to join us next here on Race Time. Stay with us.
I'm Robert Ganou, President and Chief Executive Officer of Targa Newfoundland, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning man.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so
I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Shine.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back. It's Racetime Radio.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radios. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Joe Chisholm along with Junior. Maybe you're tuned in on Sirius XM Channel 167. Hello to you. Busy day in the CFL, right? Next weekend here on the show, we will be preempted for the Grey Cup. It comes up in Calgary. But we will be preempted on Sirius XM. But you can still listen on the Performance Motorsportnetwork.com throughout the course of the week, or 98.9 XFM in Antigonish, Nova Scotia, or maybe Gearhead Country Radio is another great spot that you can listen to RTR through the week. Or maybe you have just tuned in and you want to hear the whole program. That's no problem either. Just get to iTunes and search Racetime Radio when you're there. Don't forget to hit like and subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode of RTR as every one of them get loaded to iTunes. And we thank you so much. Make sure you tell your friends and share it. We'll make this Canadian racing thing just a little bigger. What do you say? I think it's a good idea. Before we get to Mario Gosselin, I know Sue is working on grabbing Mario for us. He would have had a busy, busy weekend and a busy, busy season. But we're going to work on getting him. But, Junior, it was Xfinity's turn on Saturday, the Ford EcoBoost 300, to cap the 2019 season. And I'll tell you what, you had four in the final four that were really, really tough.
Yeah, you did. And, you know, looking at you can't look at 2019 without looking back to 2018 and how it shook out, because very similar.
Yeah, I'd say
how everything turned out. Of course, you had Reddick, you had Christopher Bell, you had Cole Custer. Was it Allgaier in 2018? Was he involved in the chase? Or
I think he was, but he didn't do much. Something happened to him. He wrecked out, or something happened on pit road.
Yeah, I don't know who was involved in 2018. Who the other third was, or the other fourth.
Yeah.
When you look at 2018 and how it played out, Tyler Reddick went out there and laid a whooping on everybody in 2018.
Yes.
And
strategy,
in,
high side.
In the nine car.
Yep. For Junior.
He parked it an inch away from the wall and, you know, just used that high lane like nobody else could, and really dominated that race. You know, he won at Daytona, and then you never heard from him again until the championship.
Right.
Obviously, you heard, but you know what I mean. He didn't have he had a lackluster year aside from winning Daytona and winning the championship. This year with RCR, went out there, did a wonderful job throughout the entire season, had speed everywhere, and really, when you got to Homestead, everybody kind of said, oh, yeah, he's really good here. You know, it wasn't like it was built up that Tyler Reddick is going to go there and wallop the field again. He's in a different car, and you know, everybody kind of, you know, wondered where he was going to shake out. But I find it really interesting watching the pre-race, watching the race itself, and really watching everything leading up to it, that it wasn't more of a storyline on how bad he waxed the field in 2018.
Yeah, he
went out there and did it again.
He did.
And in a completely different car with a completely different team, of course, still with Chevrolet.
Cole looked really good, though.
Cole looked decent,
Cole looked really good
the year prior.
He did.
And really, it played out very similar. You know, you look at Christopher Bell, you look at how he threw it away in a little wee bit because he missed pit road, you know, on that second to last stop or on the last stop. But, you know, he still cycled out to the lead, but he had a few laps older tires and you know, didn't quite have what it takes.
Right.
But Tyler Reddick, man, I'm telling you what, if every race was at Homestead, there wouldn't be anybody in the grandstand because it's boring. He's so good.
Yeah, he was.
You know, when you look at the performance that he laid down in 18 and this year, man, Homestead Miami, he should have a tattoo somewhere on him. You know, he owns that joint because he's good. And really, there's only a few drivers at a few different racetracks like that. You know, and really, it shows the greats of the sport. You know, Kevin Harvick at Phoenix, right?
Yes.
Kevin Harvick at Phoenix. You can mark that down. He's going to be good there.
Yeah, he's going to be real good, yeah.
Denny Hamlin at Richmond. You can mark that down. He's going to be good there.
Yep.
Jimmy Johnson at Dover. You can mark that down. He's going to be good there.
Austin Hill at Homestead, Miami. He's
absolutely
going to be really good there.
But really, when you look at Tyler Reddick and how that whole deal played out, a storybook season for RCR in the Xfinity. A terrible season in the Cup Series, but excited moving forward, and we're going to hear from him.
We are. Let's hear from Tyler Reddick first. This is, of course, in the media center. After the race yesterday, here's what Tyler had to say about the day.
It was awesome. I mean, the first one was special, but this one means more, and it's special in different ways on top of it. You know, from the moment me and Richard sat down last year about talking about doing something this current year and how much, you know, excitement and faith he had in my driving ability. And he thought we could, this, you know, well before I won the championship at Junior Motorsports, he thought I could be a champion and, you know, did it last year at Junior Motorsports, but this year we did it more consistently, had the most top fives, you know, maybe not led the most laps, but, we tooth and clawed our way for every top five, every top 10. And, that got us regular season championship and that allowed us to, you know, go through the playoffs in a manner that allowed us to get here, even when we made a few mistakes along the way. So just hats off to this team. I wrecked a few really good race cars that we were planning on bringing here, and we brought our third option, and it was amazing. It was a great car, great team, and we just did what we needed to do to win the championship and the race with it.
You know, I think back, and I'm going back quite a few years now. I can remember being at Daytona. There was a bunch of new guys starting out.
Yeah.
Tyler Young was there for the first time. Tyler Reddick was also there that year for the first time. And I can remember seeing these young guys, and I'm thinking, wow, how are they going to make out? How are they going to do sort of thing? And I look at Tyler Reddick today, and man, can that guy drive a car.
He can.
He reminds me of a small horse jockey.
Yes.
He gets behind the wheel of that race car, and he's so focused and does such a good job behind the wheel. Kind of cool to see. And for him to do it with two really good race teams, with Junior Motorsports, and then to do it this year with Childress, like, Have a look at that.
Yeah,
sure. It's really cool.
When you look at the background, and I always get a kick, and we obviously talk about it a lot, but the background of certain drivers and where they come from, you know, you see certain trends in the sport of somebody that's good today, and there'll be people that, you know, come from a very similar background and do very similar things. You look at Tyler Reddick, and, you know, came through the dirt ranks and through the sprint car ranks, very similar to that of Christopher Bell, very similar to that of Kyle Larson.
Yeah.
You know, went out there, performed at the ultra high level, turned amazing numbers, got interesting opportunities that became fruitful down the line with other teams and was able to make a name for themselves. You know, you look at what he's been able to do, from that background, and you compare it to what the other guys have got, and he's kind of, you know, he's got the opportunity now to go cup racing next year.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. But he earned it. He got two championships in Xfinity. You know, he won lots of races, did great work. But you look at the guys that come from similar backgrounds, and he's outperforming them now with championships and with numbers.
Yeah.
Maybe not the win numbers, you know, that Christopher Bell
had a lot more wins this year than what did Tyler.
He's a more winning driver on the, you know, on the overall win number. Christopher Bell has got more wins than Kyle Larson did at that level as well.
Yes.
But Tyler Reddick, if I had a car and I was putting a dirt guy in it, and I could only put a dirt guy in it, Tyler Reddick would be my guy.
Yeah.
And it's really surprising that it turns out that it's going to be Richard Childress that gets that opportunity to put that guy in the car.
Yeah. Here's Richard Childress talking about Tyler and talking about the weekend. Have a listen to this.
You know, I think he's amazing talent. I've seen that before he even won his first championship, watching him race. And he drove some loose race cars that year for junior nose guys, really loose. It gets you in trouble. And the first thing I told Randall, I said, you keep him tight enough, he'll go out and win a lot of races for us. And he did. And we're so excited. I just felt if we could get here, we'd have a great shot of winning the championship. And the talent that he's got, next year is going to be – it's going to raise RCR to another level. We've changed so much this year. I'm as excited about next year as I have been in a long time. Having Tyler in a cup car and the things that we know he can do and what he'll bring to RCR.
How big is that to have Richard Childress say that this driver is going to take our cup program to a new level? With Austin, of course, but
he's saying that he's going to, you know, he's a franchise player, you know, and
he is, and he's fearless.
Well, he is for sure, and he's going to be super aggressive. You know, compared to Daniel Hemric, who's in the car now, in the 8 car that Tyler Reddick is now taking over for, Reddick has been able to outperform dramatically what Hemric could do in his stuff, in RCR stuff.
In Xfinity. Yeah.
And you know, Reddick has got the opportunity to step in there and now, you know, be a franchise player for RCR. And really, RCR needed it.
Yeah, they did.
RCR,
they did. I'll give you
it's
that.
A big acquisition now to have Tyler Reddick in that camp. He is performing at a higher level than Austin did, obviously. I'm a firm believer that he's performing at a higher level than what Austin was able to do.
When Austin come out of Xfinity?
Yes.
Okay.
And he's performing higher.
When he come out of trucks, Austin
outperformed. Was great in trucks.
Oh, yeah, he was dynamite.
Yep, dynamite in trucks. But Reddick really was, he didn't have the same level of opportunity. Obviously, he was with BKR and those guys.
Yep,
he didn't
yep.
have the same level of opportunity that Austin Dillon had.
Right.
In trucks.
In the trucks.
But he's over.
Yeah.
He's outperforming where Austin Dillon was in the Xfinity side. He's outperforming where Ty Dillon was. Now, I know Ty Dillon is with Germain, but it's still in the RCR camp.
Part of
outperforming
it, yep.
where Daniel Hemric was.
See,
right?
And that surprises me. I honestly, Daniel Hemric didn't have a bad season this year. Like, not a bad season for a rookie going into the Cup Series. Daniel Hemric was in the mix a few times that I can remember, and I didn't see all the races.
He was in the mix throughout portions of races.
Yeah.
He was never in the mix at the end
at
of
the
races.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that there was a race where Daniel Hemric was in the mix at the end of the races throughout the entire season. He had a decent season. I don't think that he tore up a whole pile of stuff. He did wreck a few cars, but I mean, it's going to happen in big league auto racing. But when you look at Tyler Reddick, he is the type of guy that can go in. He's the Sidney Crosby that can go in and turn the Penguins into a storybook team. Right, he's the Alexander Ovechkin who can go in and turn the Capitals into a storybook team.
That's a lot of pressure to put on a driver.
He's a two-time champion, back to back.
I know,
with two separate teams, can't write him off.
You get into Cup, it's totally different.
Jumping into the deeper end of the pool. I will say that, but you want a guy that can go out there and execute both times back to back in two separate seasons with two separate teams. And that's the reason why Richard Childress is so high on this kid.
I understand.
And
Childress will know more than I will.
He beat the same guys who are the franchise players for the other teams.
Yeah.
You know, so you look at Cole Custer. He is really the only development driver in the Stuart Haas pipeline.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is no other development driver in that pipeline at all whatsoever in the Stuart Haas pipeline.
Right.
He's it. That right. is the
and
be all
he's
end
coming,
all.
He's coming in next year.
He's coming in next year. Christopher Bell, arguably the most hyped franchise player, rookie, free agent, whatever you want to call him,
yep.
coming in through the ranks for Toyota.
Hitting the
95 car for next year, right? So he's jumping into LFR's 95 with full JGR support.
Right.
But really, when you look at the development side, nobody else has got numbers like what this Tyler Reddick kid has.
Yeah.
And he does not get talked about enough for that.
That's true.
And I think that winning two championships will definitely change that. But you look at the hype that William Byron got and jumped into that 24 car, has not performed.
No.
Has performed better than what Daniel Hemric did.
Not as good as what Chase Elliott did when Chase jumped in.
But, I mean, the guy who we're still talking about, Tyler Reddick, has outperformed both of those guys.
In Xfinity. Yeah.
Head to head, number to number. Well, I think that you've got a pretty good idea of what he's going to be able to do just based on the numbers that he's been able to lay down.
Yeah.
Because really, all the names that we've mentioned, William Byron, Chase Elliott, you know, all the franchise, quote unquote, rookies coming through the pipeline, Ryan Blaney, going down through the list, Austin Dillon, Ty Dillon, Daniel Hemric.
When they were
all these
through.
Guys
yeah,
coming
yeah.
through the ranks, Christopher Bell, Kyle Larson, Tyler Reddick was able to, out-duel and win two back-to-back championships where those guys weren't able to do that. And they all had the opportunity to.
Yeah.
I put him equal to William Byron. William Byron would be the only one in that group that I would class as equal to on the performance scale, just simply because he was able to get the championship in Xfinity and the championship in the Truck Series back-to-back.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Yep. So, you got to look at a guy like Tyler Reddick as a franchise acquisition for RCR, and RCR is definitely looking at it that way. Richard Childress, RC himself, is looking at it that way.
Yeah.
And you can tell from every interview. And I think that given that momentum and excitement, that means that the investment is going to be made to make that happen.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think that a guy like Richard Childress, not that he didn't give Daniel Hemric everything under the sun.
Yeah.
His race teams have always had everything under the sun.
Yep.
But I think that the emphasis is a little bit different on a guy like Tyler Reddick versus a guy like Daniel Hemric.
I think
the expectations are higher.
Yeah.
And I think that can lead to some trials and tribulations because your expectations are so high, the pressure is so high. You can get into a situation where it's Joey Logano in the 20 car and the guy doesn't perform and it hurts him But, I mean, there is nobody else that has went back-to-back that doesn't have a big name now in the Cup Series.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, final break of the night. Final break. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation on the other side. Stay with us.
This is Jerry Paxton, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
The NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24-7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Perfect! Woo!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
We are back live tonight on Racetime Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. That'd be Ked bringing us back on for a new knee and count it down 3 days. 3 days.
Who is?
Ked.
Ked's going for a new knee?
Yeah, he's going to go get a new pin. He's going to be walking and dancing and playing his guitar like crazy. Yeah, good for him.
Good luck.
Now,
good luck, Ed.
Final segment of the night. What do you say we talk some Cup? Because that was a wild season. Kind of an uneventful race, as you mentioned off the top of the show.
Can we talk about how bad the celebration was for Kyle Busch?
He
wasn't excited at all.
He wasn't. When he got out of the car, it was kind of mellow.
It's kind of cool. The guy, you know, he is
second
so good.
Championship.
He's one of the best that have ever strapped into a race car.
Yeah.
And, you know, the lackluster celebration was kind of comical to me.
Well, I didn't see much of it because we...
There wasn't much of it. You didn't miss nothing.
There wasn't much.
He was excited.
See him get out of the car, took his helmet off, took his nose thing off.
Yep.
And I did hear his interview. And you know what? He was very thankful to absolutely everybody.
Did a good job.
And it was really good that way. But like you say, he wasn't jumping around.
You know, he's at the stage now. He doesn't need to be jumping around.
No.
You got to act like you've been there before.
Oh, yeah, but I think back to when Brad Keselowski won it with the Miller-like goggles.
That was his first championship.
And I'll tell you what, he got on it. That was kind of cool.
And I like
Martin
seeing
Truex.
A win.
When Truex won, they were some excited bunch, I'll tell you.
And that was their first championships. And Kyle Busch was more excited for his first championship by far.
Yeah.
You know, I think the only way that we would have seen a really exciting victory lane is if Denny Hamlin went to victory lane. is the only way that we would have seen like a true, like over the moon excited bunch.
Know. Martin.
But
Martin
I think Martin would be excited about it. But he'd act like he'd been there before, too.
Finished second.
Yep.
All he needed, in my opinion, was one yellow flag, and Cole would have nailed it. But it would have drawn the four back into the mix, too, because the four had even fresher tires.
You
got
to go back to the
19.
Mistake that Cole and his team made.
You can't
be bolting on the tires flipped, and you can't be leaving a loose lug nut, not on your money stop, and especially with how fast of a car they had. You know, it goes to show that the best in the game make mistakes.
Sure.
know what? And I've said this a million times. Racing is not exciting unless people are making mistakes.
Yeah.
And you know, that's why I do like when they make rules changes, and that's why I like, you know, certain procedural changes. And
Even when you don't like them.
Even when you don't like them, you like the racing that happens.
Right.
And I think that the Cup Series is to the point now where the entire top 30 are too smart for the game.
You can't unlearn it.
And the back 10 or 8, however many cars there are, aren't going fast enough to make the mistake.
Right.
So when you look at something that is really exciting and a race that's really exciting and some of the most exciting races that you've ever watched, think back in your mind to a race that jumps out in your mind, and you don't even need to say the race, but think back to the most exciting races. It's usually a race that's full of mistakes or full of variables that are uncontrollable.
Right.
And when you look at Homestead Miami tonight, every variable was able to be managed.
Yeah.
You know, the races, there was no yellows. Yellows breed yellows.
Yeah. There was none.
There was races,
well, a couple,
there was
but...
yellows that are planned. There was nobody that was mad at each other at the end of the race.
Yeah.
Other than maybe Denny and Chris Gabehart. Yeah. Or
mad
Gabehart,
at each other.
You know, but like the times where mistakes are made is where, you know, races are exciting. So it's not a bad thing that we didn't see a barn burner of a finish in the NASCAR Cup race.
Right.
That being said, you know, I think that, you know, there's got to be ways where mistakes can be put in. You know, I think back, the most exciting race and kind of had the most amount of variables was the first Roval race. You know, they go to a new track.
Yeah, that was
they go
crazy.
To a new track. There's guys making mistakes. They're blowing turn one.
Even this year,
you know, you look at Chase Elliott, blows through, hits the wall, and goes back and wins the race. But
purely a mistake, right?
But an exciting race.
Oh, it was off the hook.
You know, and when you look at tracks like Miami or any mile and a half in general where you can get away from one another, there's going to be variables that are controllable, and the way that I see it is, if you don't make mistakes, then you become victorious in the end.
Yeah.
And you look at the 19, and I think everybody on the 19 would agree, the only reason why they didn't win the championship tonight is the fact that they put the left sides on the right sides.
Oh, it was definitely a mistake.
When you look at it, you know, they obviously finished second, and they were able to overcome it, but just not overcome it fully.
Listen, I want you to give me a score on the 2019 Cup Series, from 1 to 10, what did this year give it a score? Grade it. Grade the season, not the race, the whole season.
On a scale of 1 to 10?
On a scale of 1 to 10, what was 2019?
6.4.
6.4. Wasn't a 6.5.
I don't think I could give it a 6.5. My gut says 6.4. And the reason why I don't give it a higher score or a lower score, I think that NASCAR did a great job this year at trying something that was completely different and out of the box, the mile and a half style, intermediate style, not necessarily just mile and a half. Everything from 1 mile to 2 mile.
Improved.
Improved.
Yes.
And I think they were more watchable.
Yep.
There was a little bit more excitement. You know, the draft came into play. You had the comers and goers, so to speak, that would pop up. I think that there's way more room to be had with that, just simply because the aero is you know, so tight in a box. If the conditions were perfect, the cars were unpassable, you know? They need to get back to the point where cars can pass.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what they're putting so much emphasis. You know, I listened to Steve Phelps in the State of the Sport press conference that they held, and you know, he made a big emphasis on putting the stock back in stock car,
right?
Putting the you know, the emphasis back on being able to pass. So it'll be really interesting to see what the new car we're not going to see till 2021,
right?
On track, but they're working on it. I think that the racing at the short tracks this year was exciting as hell.
Yeah,
I think they did a great job there. I love the restrictor speed, the restrictor plate style racing that we've seen this year.
Yeah.
That was an improvement over, really, the last 5 years.
Michigan was more exciting this year than I've ever seen it.
Yes. Michigan, tracks like that, California, yes. You know, the larger style tracks. I feel that the aero package that they had at Charlotte, they had at Atlanta and Vegas, and those style, those races were a lot better. Excitement level and parity, that's what is holding back my number from being higher.
Well, I'd give the Cup Series a 7.
Yeah.
7 out of 10 this year. I think it's it was improved.
If you watch Barstool Sports, that's a rookie number. That's a rookie score.
It was better than it was in 2018 in my eyes.
Yep. If this was a pizza review, though, that'd be a rookie score. You got to go with a decimal point.
Nope.
You can't go with a round number.
I'm not Barstool.
Dave Portnoy would say, what the hell is that?
That's okay. It's 7.
I'm just saying.
Give me your score for Xfinity.
I don't think...
One
I don't think
10.
It's 5.
5?
Yep.
No improvement?
I don't think
over
that there was
18?
No, there wasn't. Not to me.
Okay.
I think it's mediocre, and... you know, it's a shame to say that, but the truck series is going to get a high number.
I would go 4.9 in my Xfinity.
Yeah. The Xfinity series is mediocrity right now, and it's simply because there are 8 competitive cars.
Yeah.
And there are a bunch of junk bolt buckets.
I've only got a minute, maybe a minute and a half left here. Trucks. Give me the score for the Gander Truck Series.
8.8. I love the Truck Series. The Truck Series has got the package right now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You don't normally go to a race and see the undercard beat it. Beat the main card.
The main guy, yeah.
You don't see the Superstock be better than the late models.
Yeah.
You do. In NASCAR's top 3 series, if the trucks are there, they're the race of the weekend. And that is the craziest thing to me. But it comes back to the variable number, so 8.8 is my number.
Is it?
Go for it.
Good. I will give the trucks a 9.
Wow.
9 out of 10.
Okay.
I really thoroughly enjoyed the truck series this year. Didn't see all the races, but I seen the majority of them.
Yep.
And got to tell you, they were exciting all the way through.
Yep.
And I don't know whether it's the shorter race. The competition definitely is over the top in it. And the connection, I guess, that we have to a lot of the truck teams.
Yep.
And following them through. So I don't know whether it's that or what, but I just totally love that truck series. And I think they did an outstanding job this year.
Mile and a half race next year. Think about this over the week.
Okay.
I want to see a weekend where there's an 80-lap cup race.
Yeah.
A 60-lap Xfinity race and a 40-lap truck race.
Wow.
On the same day. Qualifying on Saturday, race on Sunday. Tell me that wouldn't be more exciting than what we see on a weekly basis.
Wow, it would be over the top. We'll think about it over the course of the week. But
tell
Junior,
me what you think through the week.
That is going to do it for you and I here tonight on the program. Mario Goslin, we didn't connect. So we'll try and grab Mario next week here on the program. I know we got Mike Hriniak. Couple of guys coming up. You don't know what that means, but you'll find out next week, I can guarantee you. That's going to do it for us here in the studio. Got to thank Susie Q here in the RTR studio. Got to thank Scotty back in that Toronto studio. And remember, next week, we are preempted on Sirius XM, but we will still be with you on racetimeradio.com and all of our other outlets, and then we'll return to Sirius XM the week after. That's going to do it. Have a good one, everybody. Have a good, safe week. Enjoy yourself. And, hey, if you enjoyed yourself tonight in the at a bar somewhere watching the race, remember, don't drink and drive, okay? We want to see you at the racetrack again. Have a good one. We'll catch up with you next week right here on Racetime Radio.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.